This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I think the people who are the angriest, Nick, is the team, the Bruins. If you read their statement today, they make it very clear that they are unhappy with how this all went down, that they don't feel that their player was given the proper treatment. It seems now McAvoy was originally injured in the opener against Finland. It sounds like, I don't know if he got a shot or something. I don't know exactly what happened, but he played Saturday, it looks like here, with much more severe an injury than he was initially led to believe and everybody was initially led to believe.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons, Andy Hart, Nick Stevens, and Ted Johnson. That was the voice of Elliot Friedman talking about this situation, fiasco, debacle. Charlie McAvoy had an AC injury, which is relatively common in sports. And then somehow it went sideways, and he ended up in the hospital with an infection. It all took place, and as much as I've been ripping Canada, I don't know if this has anything to do with the fact that the injury happened in Canada.
It took place at the LA Chargers facilities.
I'm going to blame Canada if I need to, Ted.
This is appropriate poutine vitriol. This is where you can get mad at State 51.
Poutine is the best thing Canada produces, or one of them.
No, it is not.
Oh, I love poutine.
Funny actors and maple syrup.
You have a Portuguese poutine?
And good rye.
Portuguese poutine. A linguiça gravy for a
Anyway. Like gravy on my fries.
So you said before the break this wasn't all that surprising. So I'm going to need you to explain that because I, like I just said, AC injuries happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jimmy Garoppolo had the famous one. AC can't play.
But a guy landed on him.
Yeah, but they happen all the time. They happen in hockey all the time. You get hit in the boards. And
like, then you continue to play with them?
Oh, yeah. People play with them, play through pain.
Play through, right.
Now, the diagnosis and how severe it is, I don't know why in Canada they don't know it's a severe injury. They get to Boston and they're like, what did they really say? Significant AC injury?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they think it's AC.
But it's the infection.
Nope, not bad,
It's the infection that was concerning to me.
Like, well, it is. So how did that happen? Not to be disrespectful, there's certain, we're not going to mention the names of countries, but there's certain countries where you'd be like, I don't really want to go to the doctor there. I don't know if I want shots there. I don't know if I want them cutting me open there.
What do you have against the people of Thailand?
Thailand.
The countries that butt up against the United States?
Maybe.
Okay.
But I didn't know Canada was a place where you should be worried about getting a shot, getting an arthroscopic procedure, anything, and you're going to... And I'm not saying it only happens place. Tom Brady had it in L.A. to the richest doctor in the world.
He's adding to the booing, the fuel to his booing.
Just a little bit.
He took an hour off from like the
rabble-rousing.
The
Canadians are the reason why Charlie McAvoy isn't playing for your Bruins.
Yeah, absolutely.
There you go.
The rest of the Bruins season went down the crapper because of
Canada. They made a bunch of bad trades and they didn't get enough offensive scoring and people got injured.
So, Ted, tell me why you weren't surprised.
Why I wasn't surprised is because of the overall buy-in of this whole tournament. The Four Nations tournament has been complete buy-in. Have you heard one player, coach, or media member who covers the NHL say one bad thing about this tournament.
No, it's the opposite.
It's completely the opposite.
Yeah, my manager said that I can't go out there tonight because I have to protect my value going forward. No, that would be like, get out of this locker room. You're playing for your country.
So everyone is totally bought into this tournament, which is what? It's a round robin. What, you play three? You play potentially four games, right?
Yeah. Like,
that's a lot of games in the middle of a long season that everyone's bought in. There's hype. There's pressure. There's fights. And so why are we surprised that someone would get injured, then maybe not be able to play the rest of the season from participating in this tournament? It's not that surprising to me.
Okay,
that someone would be injured playing in this tournament.
Hockey players are just built different, guys. Like they want.
Well, they used to be. I'm not sure they are.
What I worry about is that he got injured before the game last Saturday against the Canadiens. And so, but don't you think there's a little bit of the onus was maybe on Charlie McAvoy? Like, do you think he was hurt? And he says, you know what? Because he was out there slamming dudes, right, in that game.
That's because he probably couldn't feel anything.
Well, but so he agreed to.
Duct tape, tore it all,
what do you
whatever.
Think they do to an AC joint? They shoot it right in there.
Yeah. But
Charlie probably signed off on okaying a shot to that AC joint.
And isn't that his prerogative?
Yeah, so part of it, the onus is on Charlie.
Like, he doesn't have to call the Bruins, right? He doesn't have to call the Bruins and be like, listen, I'm going to get shot up to play, and they go, the hell you are. You're getting your ass back here in Boston.
We want to put the Bruins want to put the blame on the medical staff.
Yeah, so do I.
I think some of the blame should be put on Charlie,
100%, because he got hurt against Finland. And so if he already had something lingering, and then it gets exasperated, injured further against Finland, he probably should, full well knowing that he's playing on a very rich contract, and the GM of his team he plays for in the NHL also happens to be the GM of the team that he played against last Saturday night in Canada. The onus is as much on him.
I disagree.
The dirty needle, bad practices?
No, forget the dirty needle. Separate issue. Dirty needle issue. And if that's, the accepted story now is the belief that he got shot up and he may have gotten
infected from the shot.
Sepsis,
which
or
is
Mercer
bad.
Or something.
Which is bad.
That's really bad.
Not good.
But I think there was also a report, Dan Ball, and correct me if I'm wrong, on the ESPN report from yesterday. He had a procedure in Canada. Now, whether they're calling the shot a procedure, I don't know.
It was described as a minor procedure for what they thought to be a minor AC injury.
So I think he might have had something more done than just a shot.
Before the Saturday game?
Scope?
Potentially. So the other issue here, Ted, is I've always been told, I had an AC separation. I had surgery on it a long time ago. Whatever.
Thank you for your service.
Generally AC injuries are pain tolerance.
I heard it's actually pretty painful.
Oh, it is. Yeah. But if you can deal with it, well, deal with it then. It's not like you're going to be paralyzed if something else happens.
Yeah.
It's pain. You're going to have surgery to clean it up at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we heard that a lot, actually. It's why people took shots at Jimmy Garoppolo when he had the left shoulder AC injury and didn't play. Zoe was all over him, killed him. This guy's not tough. All over him. So the issue I have, and maybe they're covering their asses, I don't know. The release that the Bruins put out back in Boston was when he went to the hospital here. Yes, he had an infection. They also found a significant injury. So are you going to tell me in Canada they told him you have a significant injury, but you can play through it? And he did? Or did they not tell him he had a significant injury?
But is it plausible that this injury wasn't that significant going into the game against Canada, and then he comes out of that game and it's much more serious now?
Possible.
So
possible.
Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, so it's kind of like,
because there's grades to an AC.
Yeah, I feel like I can see why the Bruins would be upset, but I also am not want to rush to conclude that it was malpractice, that they completely botched this thing. Because my feeling is it wasn't a major injury going into the Canadian game, and then after that game and the hits that he was laying on the dudes, it became much more significant and severe.
How many times? Because I know medical professionals, they keep track of infection rate. It's a thing. Like if you know a doctor does hip replacements, they can tell you, oh, he has a 4% infection rate.
That's part of what they
5%.
Do.
5%. That guy, 17%. That guy
is
over
that
there.
True?
There's guys.
Oh, I thought
that
you were actually laying out a numerical assessment.
But there are
that
guys
doctor.
That have significantly high, and gals.
is this significantly higher infection rates. So sometimes, we can pretend it's all the same.
Is this what we have to ask our doctors now? Like, do we have to, like...
What's your infection rate?
Yeah.
If you're going to have a surgery, not a bad thing to ask.
Well, first of all, I think we can all...
And what's your competition's infection rate?
I think we all can agree there is no such thing as minor surgery or just a little something.
Correct.
Surgery is surgery.
You can die. They make you sign that paper.
20 minutes or 8 hours.
Because of the staph infection possibilities.
Yes. Any of these things. Yeah.
Who was it? Who was it? Kanye's mother? Whose mother famously died
on
a very, very minor surgery, and she died.
Yeah,
it was like, whoa, she gone.
Stiz, it was Kanye.
Yeah, it was Kanye.
Okay,
yeah.
So like that happens, and you
my
assume
old man had a small something done in the mid 80s. The staph infection kept him in the hospital for weeks.
Right. So it happens.
It's terrible,
but it's also a rarity, I would say, among professional athletes. How many times did you come across it in your career? Somebody had a shot or a minor something, and
that. They got infected?
Yeah.
None. I didn't know anybody.
So you had a 10-year NFL career. There were lots of surgeries, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot every year, probably hundreds.
But there was
procedures.
A terrible MRSA outbreak. Like there, one person came down with MRSA, which is like horrible staff, and then like it spread in the Tampa. Remember the
some
people
in the
Tampa
locker room, and then they have to like
burn the
fumigate
place down.
The place or whatever. But my point is, we generally assume that you athletes get pretty high-end treatment. Mm-hmm. Right? Like the best
of
the best.
Assume. Yep.
Because there's team personnel,
correct.
There's hospital personnel, and everybody has a lot to lose also. If Andy Hart gets an infection, the only person who cares is me, my wife, whoever, right? If Ted Johnson gets an infection, we're talking about it for 4 hours on the radio. And what doctor did this? What hospital did this? Mm-hmm. I'm blaming a whole country of freaking
FanDuel,
doctors right now.
And then all the people on NFL Today. And
so I don't.
Bookies and
This definitely stinks. Whether it just stinks bad luck. Or stinks somebody screwed up. And I do think there's two levels. Again, there's the, what did they diagnose in Canada? And Dan Ball, I don't know if you have the name, the Minnesota Wild doctor, whatever his name is.
That's their medical staff.
The Team USA medical
team
leader.
USA.
Dr. Joel Boyd.
Yes.
Okay, Dr.
Hi,
Boyd.
Hi, everybody. Joel Boyd here.
I don't trust him.
That's our traitor. That's who we're booing.
That's okay.
Is it
that's Dr. Nick from The Simpsons. But did he just misdiagnose it? That's one issue.
Yep.
The infection, that's probably hard to prove there was any ineptitude. It's not like he reused a needle or something or like dragged
Jeez
it through
Louise,
the
rust. My
right?
God.
I'm guessing he did it the same way he's probably done shots a million times, right? And for some reason, location,
excuse
Canada.
Me, doctor, should you be smoking in here?
Let me just grab this one from the trash.
But the shot that was given to Charlie happened before.
If it's given. Do we have that fully reported that it actually definitively happened?
Well, the thing that happened is a procedure. So there's a very good chance it was not topical lidocaine that was used.
Nobody's talking about, okay, you're right.
Procedure.
Nobody's talking about a shot to numb the pain. Right? No one's talking about that.
But if you have one now, I'll take it.
I don't have any on me right now. So, I'm just curious if he took a shot before playing that game.
I would think. It would make sense because he has an AC separation.
Yeah.
AC separation is pain tolerance.
Yes.
To tolerate pain, they shoot you with something.
Okay,
so
Andy.
I'm just like, you're taking a shot in a game that is meaningless?
But it's not meaningless to him.
Wake up.
All right, so I have a medical professional checking in right now via the text massage, a medical sales professional checking in. Just to let you guys know, doctors do not carry infection rates. Procedures do. And also, don't forget.
Agree to disagree. And I know I have very close sources in the industry that will tell you otherwise.
Too.
Mine's better.
Who's
yours? I could give you doctors and their infection rate.
But that's not
if you ask me to.
But it's not like you can't ask for it.
Oh, I don't know if you can ask for it. I can get it for you if you need it.
Well, somebody probably. Well, you can always. But any stat can be made. And
Andy's seen two seasons of Scrubs.
No. This is
watching House.
No, I can tell you, people in the industry know which doctors have infection rates at what rate.
Shoulder surgeries are incredibly low as far as medical procedure infections go.
And this wasn't even a surgery necessarily. This was a procedure, which may just be a needle. And yet, do we even think he's going to play again this year?
Yes.
I would be worried about it.
I would be worried, too.
I would be worried about
also
it.
Also because... if he's missing week to week, I think Sacco said week to week. If he's week to week and they lose a few games and now they're sellers, well, the season is kind of spiraling in a direction where maybe you just want him go get healthy for next year. Because even if the infection clears, significant AC injury also has to be. He might need another surgery to fix the significant AC injury, a legit surgery here in the United States of America, where we cheer for our anthem.
Can we all
don't forget the Gronk when he busted up his forearm. got an infection.
Oh, yeah.
And then that was part of the reason why it didn't
heal correctly. Talk to you about that off air.
Uh-oh.
No, I just, stories I've heard, things I've heard said about that.
Does Bud Light cause infections? 617?
No. 617-779-7937. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, Andrew Razor Raycroft.
Oh, that's right.
Will give us his perspective on the Four Nations final. Now, do remember where he was born. So when I ask him if he's going to boo the Canadian national anthem, it'll be a very interesting answer. That's Andrew Razor Raycroft up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. The Four Nations Face-Off Championship game is tonight at 8 p.m. at TD Garden. It's Team USA versus Team Canada for the title, and coverage of the game begins at 8 p.m. right here on 93.7 WEEI. Team USA head coach Mike Sullivan said that everyone is available to play tonight, with the one exception being Bruins defenseman Charlie McAvoy. McAvoy posted a photo on his Instagram story of him driving in a car, implying he was discharged from Mass General Hospital at some point today. The Celtics return to action tonight on the road against the Philadelphia 76ers. Tip-off is at 7 p.m. One player on the injury report for the Seas, that is Xavier Tillman, who is out tonight with a knee injury. In other NBA news, Front Office Sports reports that this year's NBA All-Star game was the second least watched in its history. Also, San Antonio Spurs All-Star Victor Wembanyama is expected to miss the remainder of the season with a blood clot in his right shoulder, and the NBA has suspended Milwaukee Bucks player Bobby Portis for 25 games for violating the league's anti-drug policy. In Red Sox news, left-handed reliever Zach Penrod is awaiting MRI results after feeling elbow soreness earlier this week. Penrod pitched in 7 games last September with the big club and recorded a 2.25 ERA. The team is also signing 35-year-old veteran lefty Matt Moore to a minor league contract. Moore can opt out of the deal 5 days before opening day if Boston doesn't add him to its 40-man roster. And in NFL news, the Saints are expected to hire Doug Nussmeier as their new offensive coordinator. Nussmeier most recently worked as the quarterback's coach of the Philadelphia Eagles under new Saints head coach Kellen Moore. You've got to try the 99 Restaurant's original crispy chicken tenders family meal deal. Each meal serves up to 5 people and comes with salad and sides to share. You've got to love the Nines. I'm Dan Ball. This is trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Bruins analyst on Nesson, Andrew Raycroft, joins the afternoon crew, and that's next.
Did you know that if you miss any part of the show, you can jump back to listen?
Either on the Odyssey app or at WEEI.com. Click on the orange listen button.
And rewind to the moments you care about most. WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Back here on WEEI Afternoons, Ted Johnson seems very excited about this rejoin.
I've seen Rush in concert more than any other band.
More than any? I've seen them a couple times.
I've seen them probably half a dozen times.
Sadly, obviously, we can't go see them in their full capacity anymore. Wait. I mean, come on. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Come on now.
Called YYZ. So this is Geddy Lee, Neil Peart, and Alex Lifeson showing off their skills. You know, by the way, brand manager / program director, Ken Laird, is in the back right now, 6 to midnight. Biggest Rush fan in the building.
All right, secret time. I did not pick that song. That was our fearless leader, Ken Laird.
Rush songs to come back with.
That is an odd one, but I like...
Is it relevant?
Yes,
yeah,
Canadian.
Of course. They're from Canada. Yeah.
They're all from Canada.
And what's their most famous song?
Tom Sawyer.
Tom Sawyer.
Oh, I've heard that.
Yeah, I would hope so.
You've heard of.
You never know with me.
Red Barchetta.
Oh, yeah.
Don't know what you said.
Subdivisions.
Visible Airwaves. That's actually Red Barchetta.
I like
Limelight.
Limelight, great
Roll
song.
Roll the Bones.
Boom.
Subdivisions.
Half a dozen times, Ted, huh? Now, did you see them like in other states or kind of all local?
No, I saw him a different.
Like, as in, was he altered or messed up?
I went to the concerts where I lived. So I lived in Texas and in California. So whenever they come to San Diego, I would go see him. Whenever they come to Houston, I'd go see him.
That's cool.
That's having older stepbrothers. They influenced me with Rush.
And they're done? Did you say somebody's dead or something?
Yeah, mm-hmm. We lost Neil.
Who's Neil Peart.
Considered one of the greatest drummers ever, yeah.
Oh, okay. Not the one-arm guy.
No. That was Phil, what's his name, from... Def Leppard.
The drummer for Rush, considered the best.
Okay.
They had a concert.
Not the one-armed guy.
They had him on
This has been
like
Rock
these,
Pod with this, Andy Hart.
I think I forget what the name of the tour was. The big bunny rabbits that came jumped out of the hats, but they had the drummer basically on these track up over the audience's head. He was playing the drums and he was spinning up over our heads. And they do lasers shows. It's okay. Incredible, man.
So was this intended to be an example of some of the greatness that comes from Canada, so we shouldn't boo them?
They were considered three of the greatest technical musicians of the prog rock era.
Extending an olive branch.
Progressive
rock.
We're
trying to say it's not all bad from Canada.
Oh, I didn't think it was all bad. Just the booing. And we need to... There's going to be reciprocal tariffs. We got to have reciprocal booing.
Who are the other great rock Canadian rock bands? Here it is.
God, there is no drummer better than Neil Peart.
There you go.
Not going to lie to you, I was worried there, whatever was going on. Wasn't sure.
Great
it was
Family Guy clip.
I got
Rachel McAdams.
Okay.
She gets your, light your...
No.
Rachel McAdams? Oh, heck yeah.
Would you share a bowl of Jell-O with her?
I would, brother.
Yep.
Danny boy. You know I would.
All right.
That's right.
Give me a bowl of Jell-O and Rachel McAdams.
I'll tell you what, I'll read from her notebook anytime. You know what I'm talking about? Because she was in that movie. I just want to explain it.
Great movie.
Haven't seen it.
Spoiler alert. It doesn't end well.
She dies?
No. Now you have to see it.
I don't think I ever will. Sad. So you can spoiler.
You have what?
No, I have no interest in it.
Mrs. Hart doesn't want to sit down and have a nice romantic.
You just told me it's Canadian. I'm anti-Canadian today, baby. Ain't nothing from Canada any good. Especially the hockey team.
Except I like maple syrup.
You know, you can get a blog.
Joining us now on the phone lines, thank God, to stop Nick from...
Me?
Yes, you. Is Andrew Razor Raycroft, a great Canadian in his own right, and he's brought to you by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Razor, appreciate you joining us, and he will be joining all WEEI listeners tonight, 8 p.m., the broadcast of USA Canada with his play-by-play partner, Steve Koalas.
Koulias.
I was close. I'm sorry, Razor. I'm sorry, buddy. Anyway, Razor, we've been having a great debate today, and I'm sure you knew there would be a question at some point about this. So we had the Canadians booing the U.S. national anthem in Montreal. I don't know what you thought about that as a great Canadian. What, as someone who played for the Bruins and has lived here for a long time, do you expect there will be return serve tonight? Do you expect boos during the Canadian national anthem tonight? And how would you handle yourself as a fan?
Sure. So a couple things. So one, unlike Ken Laird, and Ken and I have talked about this, I am not a Rush fan. Okay. As Canadian as I am, I'm not a Rush guy. I have an American passport as well. I am an American. I'm an American citizen. So I am very qualified to stand on both sides of this now, as I love both countries very much and appreciate both. If you guys remember, I know you're old enough to remember. I know Teddy was very busy at this time, but in 2004, we played the Montreal Canadiens in a 7-game series, and something came up political during that time as well, and in Montreal, they booed the American anthem for the 3 games that we played up there.
Yep.
And it's on YouTube, and I remembered it pretty clearly. When they came back to Boston, the Boston crowd actually cheered the entire time for the Canadian national anthem. I would absolutely love to see that tonight. I think that's like the perfect reciprocal tariff, because the end of the day, USA is kind of big brother, and to hear them cheer the entire time, I think would be more interesting than the boos, but I do expect boos at the end of the day tonight.
So, Razor, obviously nobody expected and or everyone was surprised by the immediately contentious and violent nature of the start of the game last Saturday, which is obviously what raised ratings and eyebrows and attention and has led to this emotional finale tonight at the Garden. The Tkachuk brothers, famous for doing things like that, took their game to 11 and cranked it up another notch. Do you expect Canada tonight to try to fight fire with fire and come back with physicality, or should they, or you think they'll stay in their finesse lane?
No, it'll be physical, but it's not going to start the same way. I was down at the rink this morning talking to everybody, and and both coaches thought the same thing. I think that was a bit of a tone setter. It just happened. You know, I know the group chat was out there, but it's still somewhat organic. Tonight, I don't think when it's the championship on the line at this point, the tone has already been set. Tonight will be very closely battled. There'll be a ton of hits, but I think the only time or the only chance we see a fight is if there is a huge hit laid and two guys grab each other. I don't envision right off the draw. I think it's a little bit risky if they go at it off the draw and one of the other guys doesn't partake and you end up being on the power play or on the penalty kill, you know, 2 minutes into the game.
I can't wait. It's going to be fascinating, but I gotta ask you, you know, it just feels, I don't know how to make sense of maybe what happened with Charlie McAvoy, who's to blame, that kind of thing. I feel like it's sports, things happen, but Andrew, how do you kind of process what happened with Charlie McAvoy in your mind? What you know, who's to blame, and or just, you know, what, how do you see this whole situation kind of how it happened, and what's your thoughts on it?
Yeah, it's wild, right? And I think the best answer is, and you just said it, you know, crazy things happen in sports, and that's why we watch it and follow it, and that includes injuries. This one's wild, and it's pretty obvious from the statement and pretty obvious from, you know, digging into it a little bit that something got messed up. But when it's also medical and there's a lot of guys kind of looking the other way and there's a few whispers, but no one except a few people really know. And those are the doctors and Charlie, but, either way, it's a really bad break for the Boston Bruins, and after this game tonight, we're going to get back to them on Saturday, and I think a lot of talk will be focused on the fact that they don't have Charlie in the lineup for the next little while, and it's because of this, and it's because what seems to be somewhat of a mistake somewhere.
Nesson's Andrew Raycroft joining us here on WEEI Afternoon. So moving forward with that, we're already putting a lot of focus on the post-break performance and then the trade deadline and paths and buyers and sellers. You now lose potentially your best defenseman for, I guess, an extended period, weeks to week, who knows. Doesn't that have the chance to sort of pull the plug on the second half of the season?
It does. Yeah, it does. They being the Bruins, have a lot more information and have a much easier way of deciding those kinds of things. But and Hampus Lindholm hasn't skated a full skate or at least like the same schedule here out of the break either, which is a little surprising. So without those two guys, and if you don't have them for the entire 25 games or 20 of the games that are left in the season, it seems pretty difficult to continue to contend. Now it's happened before and it's possible. And of course the guys that are at the rink right now are expecting to do so, but it definitely has the chance to be problematic, and it definitely has the chance to change change decision making over the next 7 days, which are the seven games before the deadline.
So, Razor, the Four Nations tournament has been a huge hit. I mean, basically, we all just learned about it 2 weeks ago in talking to you on a Thursday. I was completely ignorant to the format and how things were going to work out. Now here I am 2 weeks later making plans with friends to get together to watch the finale at a bar, which I never do. And I think tens of thousands of people regionally are all fired up for this tournament. And they hope that not only does it carry through in hockey, maybe that it becomes an 8-nation or 12-nation, and it affects other all-star game formats in other sports. But do you think because some people have gotten hurt and there's been the McAvoy ding up and now, you know, problem and infection, what have you, do you think the NHL will go forward with this? Will they like make plans to do it bigger and better, or do you think they'll pull back because people got hurt?
No, you're gonna continue to push forward on this, and this was a plan. And again, they did have it. I mean, we had this in '96 and in 2004 and in 2016 and around and through the Olympics. So next year they're going to the Olympics. So right there, you've got this exact thing happening all over again over in Italy. And then the plan is 2028 to do this again. So kind of it can't be an every year thing, but it can certainly be 2 years Olympics, 2 years World Cup, 2 years Olympics kind of pattern where you're seeing best on best international hockey every couple of years is what the players want. And certainly now that we've gotten a taste of it again after not having it for 8 years, we're seeing how awesome it is and how great best on best hockey is. And yeah, next time we need to have Czechia in, we need to have Slovakia, yeah. We need to have the Russians in. And then that elevates this tournament to a whole nother level as well.
Yeah, Razor, I think it was David Pasternak was quoted as saying before this tournament, he's like, oh, my country's not in it. I'm not going to really watch. And that's, you know, I'd be curious if David's watching tonight. I don't know. It just feels like it's kind of has that feel. But, I mean, what is the essence of what's made this kind of event so special in your eyes? I mean, every player, every coach, everyone who covers this, what at the end of the day is a meaningless kind of exhibition, you know, type tournament. What is at the core of the excitement about this tournament? Is it truly just you're getting the best American team going up against the best Canadian team, which very rarely happens? Is that really what is the essence of what's captivated everybody about this tournament?
I think so. I think there's a lot at play. Don't forget, it's USA and Canada, but Team Sweden played pretty hard, even though they were out of it on Monday, and beat Team USA. And Team Finland, it's honestly, guys, it's the sport, and it's played with passion. It is played with a ton of speed. And again, when you have best on best, it's just so much faster. It's so much more intense. And again, it's just so competitive. So you take the best on best, and then you put their national team jerseys on their backs. Yeah. It's just so meaningful. And, you know, I was saying it to the guy I was talking this morning, like the Stanley Cup's one thing, right? You have a group of guys like football season, like the Super Bowl, where you're going through that entire year together. It's survival of the fittest. The playoffs, a grind. Not everybody's you have leaders. You have role players. In this situation, this is essentially, unless you're Sidney Crosby or Connor McDavid, it's kind of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Not many guys have played for their nation best on best in hockey because it's so fleeting. It's only every couple of years, and the careers are so short. Young guys are coming in. So these guys are auditioning as well on top of everything else to play in the Olympics next year. If they want to play in the Olympics, they've got to be amazing at this tournament, and that's why guys are so bought in, because there's just so little opportunity to do this. And when you look back and people look back on careers, this is a huge part of legacy. Patrice Bergeron is a god in Canada, not just in Boston, because what he has done for Team Canada in the Olympics and in World Cup and World Juniors. Like, this is a huge part and piece of Hall of Fame careers in our sport. And that's why it's so important.
Reminder, Razor will be doing the analyst job tonight here on 93.7 WEEI USA Canada.
With his broadcast partner?
I was going to skip his name because I screwed it up the first time, so I wasn't going to say it. Razor, you can say it. Who's your play-by-play partner tonight?
Steve Coolius. Cooley. So it's really
Coolio.
Yeah, Cooley. My buddy's Coolius.
It's Razor Coolio. It's Gangster's Paradise tonight here at 93.7.
Yes, sir.
Are you, in all seriousness, we talked to Sean McDonough earlier in the week, and we were talking about his trademark voice crack, and we were kind of hoping for it, maybe an overtime game winner goal, something massive that causes the voice crack. What's your thoughts of taking part in this broadcast tonight when you know this is one of the biggest hockey games that's been broadcast in a long, long time?
I know. I'm obviously really excited. This has turned into a pretty awesome week for me. I signed on to this 2 months ago, a month and a half ago, thinking it's wonderful to get reps and this is what I want to do and this is great for me and I'm in and around the building. And now all of a sudden it could be the biggest hockey game since 1980.
Yep.
So I'm pumped. It was awesome to be a part of it this morning. I saw Sean McDonough this morning, so I talked to him for a little while and got some advice from him. But I've done a bunch of college games, and again, just to be a part of this and do this, I know all the guys' names pretty well, and I've seen a bunch of hockey games, so you just go out and let her rip, and Cooley calls a great game, too. So
that's awesome. Have fun, Andrew. That's really cool for you, man.
So I don't know if you're allowed to do this now. We always end each of these calls with a prediction. Are you allowed to predict what's going to happen tonight at the Garden?
Yeah, I can try. I mean, I don't mind doing it. Okay. I don't think I will get in trouble doing it. By the way, I don't know if you guys remember what I said last time, but I absolutely nailed it. So I'm like kind of keeping track of myself.
Absolutely. Me too.
Boy, pump those tires, Razor.
So what do you
got
tonight?
2 weeks ago, I sucked, but last week, Four Nations, Team USA, I nailed that one. I have a hard time imagining one of these teams losing twice. Like, if this was a seven-game series, it's going to game seven.
Let her talk.
Back and forth, back and forth. That's where I'm stumbling upon. So, again, as unbiased and impartial and trying to give good analysis, I think this is 4-2 Canada.
Oh, he's such a homer.
4-2.
4-2. Hellebuck is going to give up twice as many goals as he has all time.
He's going to give up three. He's going to give up three. Canada will get an empty netter. I wish we could just go to overtime the entire time. Neither team deserves to lose it. Like, hockey has won. The NHL, the PA, everybody's won. So you put me on the spot, and I gave it to you because I know that's what radio wants.
We appreciate that, Razor.
Well, you know what's crazy real quick?
Oh,
Razor,
we all win, either way.
The overtime rules are the same as Stanley Cup overtime rules, right? Is that right?
Yeah, they played a little winner, right?
That's amazing to me.
We go to 5-on-5. Yeah,
go
exactly.
5-on-5, 20 minutes. Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hopefully we get a little extra hockey tonight. Razor, good luck in the broadcast, and no offense, but I hope your prediction is wrong because I'm rooting for you.
Fair enough. I understand that, and I'm looking forward to doing this, and I'm glad we're all talking about hockey as much as we are.
That's great,
the win,
man.
Right there, baby.
Fun,
all right, thanks,
bud.
Razor. We'll talk to you next week, man.
All right, be good. Have a good weekend, guys. Thanks. Enjoy tonight.
Andrew Raycroft.
And Coolio. Canada. Don't forget Coolio.
The Razor and Coolio are all brought to you by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we'll pick apart a couple things that Razor said, and we'll get back to our discussion of the day. How do you handle yourself? I thought Razor had a pretty honest approach to the whole national anthem thing, so we'll break that down a little bit here on WEEI Afternoons next.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
I don't know if you guys remember what I said last time, but I absolutely nailed it. I have a hard time imagining one of these teams losing twice. That's where I'm stumbling upon. So, again, as unbiased and impartial and trying to give good analysis, I think this is 4-2 Canada.
Oh, he's such a homer. He's such a homer.
That was NESN analyst Andrew Razor Raycroft with his homerific prediction for tonight's massive Four Nations final. Yes, Fitzy?
Yeah, he's doing the broadcast tonight with Canada's own Dave Coulier.
I thought it was Coolio. I believe it's pronounced Coolio.
Dave Coulier is there's another great Canadian export. Also, Alanis Morissette.
Why are we going over great Canadian exports? What does that have
people
to do with
think Canada's booing? Done nothing for us.
They've done more than you think.
Alanis Morissette got a lot of people through an emotional time in the early 90s.
I like Alanis Morissette.
You guys ever
Jagged
see
the, Little Pill, baby?
You ever see the movie Argo?
No.
Oh, Argo F yourself.
Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck. It's we got the with the embassy in Tehran, Iran gets overrun.
Yeah.
And five Americans escape. And the only people that would take them in were the Canadian.
They should.
I'm Canadians. Expecting tonight.
They should have.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
You don't think we would have taken theirs in?
Don't you understand? We're
if the roles were reversed, I'm pretty sure we would have taken them in.
Would we? I don't know. Would we have? According to you.
Are you even
an
American
they
anymore?
They show up at the door and you boo them. That's what you would do.
Who knew you were such a Canadian sympathizer?
You would boo the Canadians if they were at your door.
No, I wouldn't.
And Iran
I'd bring
would
them
be
in.
Back in 1979.
No, he would shut the front door and be like,
no, I'd bring them in. Yard. And then I'd be like, all right, let's have dinner. Let's eat. Let's get you guys shot. And now we got to talk about this booing thing. And then we'd have a conversation about the booing
thing. There you
go. But Razor is going to be on our airwaves, 93.7 WEEI tonight. Color commentary at 8 p.m. of USA Canada. And he is a unique guy to talk to that game about because obviously he's tied into the Bruins, city of Boston, USA, as he says. He has an American passport, born in Canada. He's kind of looking at it from all angles.
He made sure not to make any enemies right at the top of that interview.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, smart. Smart. Good. Yeah. Very smart. But I also, I hate to admit this, I kind of agree with him. I'm worried about the game tonight from an American perspective.
I was stunned when you said that you bet the Americans on
but
the
I often bet with my heart more than my head.
With your heart? Is that the new name of your gambling show on the weekends?
Jump on board, all you betting apps. Bet with your heart.
How's
Andy Hart?
How's that worked out for you, by the way?
I am up in both my apps.
Well, there you go. So just always bet with your heart then.
No, not always. I'm not always up because I lose bets with my heart, but I win one with my head and
will
balances
bet
out.
Against my heart. So that way, if the team I'm rooting for loses, hey, at least I made money. But then if I lose money on it, it's like, but hey, you know what? I left an emotional winner, so I'm okay with that.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, I guess.
So that's why I'm going to bet on Canada tonight.
You traitor.
But it does feel...
Benedict Fitzy.
But with Charlie out, you don't think that takes a little bit of the wind out of the sails a little bit with Charlie?
Yeah, I absolutely think it does. Now, I will say...
Especially after the way he played in the first two games.
Well, except for that McDavid goal where he looked like one of those inflatable fake defenders.
Sometimes, though, aren't you like impressed? Like, wow, I haven't seen this up close in a while. He really is an amazing hockey player.
Connor McDavid?
Yes.
Yeah.
He is... I think he is visually...
I think they were frozen in awe.
The most impressive hockey player I've ever seen.
He's breathtaking.
Because
sometimes
I feel like you could take some person from South America who's never seen a hockey game, put it on, and they would be like, who's that guy? He's really good. Like, he stands out that much. You don't need to know hockey. You don't need to know athletes.
When a pro stands out amongst other pros, that's where you go, wow.
It's most talented player of all time.
And the speed, I would argue. the raw speed.
That's worthy hyperbole.
Mm-hmm. Well, his agent says it too. And his agent's a pretty famous guy.
His agent?
Rhymes with Bobby Orr.
Yeah.
So he's in the conversation of greatest players.
It's not only the speed, it's the way he handles the puck.
Oh, yeah.
His stick handling is insane.
It almost looks like the old bow on Tecmo video game where you're like, why'd they make one player better than all the other players?
He's definitely using Walter Payton.
We need to update this video game to make it more real. He's not playing at the same level.
Did y'all ever see any of that footage from last year after that highly watched NHL Stanley Cup final game 7 where I think the Panthers won 1-0? In the locker room, he and other guys, the footage of that it's so hard to watch. They were so quiet. They were almost inconsolable. They were just, he was very.
Like Super Bowl 42?
Very.
Players
emotional.
Vomiting everywhere, according to Jonathan Kraft?
Yeah. No. Guys crying, just openly. Just like
he played so hard. Too.
Great, great stuff.
Can I just you saying that right now just triggers some of my brain. I got to give it up to just the NHL guys that are participating. These guys are pretty badass. I mean, it's a very long physical season. I think to win a Stanley Cup, I think is the hardest trophy to win in all of sports.
Mm-hmm.
And they are they have this 2-week break in the middle of the season where they're asked to play 4 games, and they're laying it on the line. I have so much respect for these guys to doing what they're doing. I really do.
And how about also to the nature like. So you were in oftentimes on first and second down. It may come off on some obvious passing downs, yes?
Yeah,
later in my career. So, but that was just because of the scheming, whereas like hockey players, they can only skate for like 7, they skate so hard. How many do they skate? 10 miles a night? Some outrageous amount? That an average shift is what, a minute 15?
Mm-hmm.
Just to try to keep the legs fresh because they burn so badly. And sometimes in like on PKs or in overtime, they're out there for several minutes at a time. Like their fitness level versus some other people's fitness and cardio level.
But it's also their compete. You know, like they get into the whole compete level that a lot of hockey coaches talk about, mm-hmm. go into the corners and all that. It is kind of amazing. It is a nothing tournament. And I know they get a trophy and they'll get a nice little paycheck at the end.
Get cash?
Right, but does that cash wipe out how sore they're going to be? How tired they're going to? Or for McAvoy? I don't know, the fact that he's not going to play the rest of the season potentially for the Boston Bruins. Right.
They're playing for legacy tonight.
But that's what Razor said, and that's interesting.
And that was a great I'm so glad he went there. That's why I asked him the question. I was like, at the end of the day, why are these guys playing so hard? Legacy. Legacy is on the line for these guys.
Yes, it is.
To Ted and in the group as well, do you guys think that hockey players are the toughest of the 4 main sports?
That's a good question. I think football is just the most physically demanding sport. But absolutely. when you add in all the games that hockey players play, I think it's a close second. I think it's right there.
Oh, yeah, these guys are losing teeth. They're staying out there. Yeah. Like,
I think I would go football first. And the gap also is closing for football in a way because they play Sunday and then Thursday. Well, they're starting to play a tighter schedule.
Yeah, but they're
going to
go. Yeah, I want to see them play flag hockey.
And I think that's one of the things that you always, a good way to look at it is well, you know, you can really only play a football game every 4 or 5 days.
Right.
At the most. You know, where hockey, you play back-to-back games.
Right.
You know.
I think we can all agree that baseball players are softies.
Dude, if you can play 2 games in 1 day, come on, please.
Well,
they used to be tougher baseball players, Andy.
We've developed into a late conversation here. Baseball is all mental. It's the game is played right between your skull. If you can get through that drag and that sort of challenges that your boy Casas sort of voiced in the teaser to the Netflix documentary.
He's your boy now?
Yes, he's my boy now.
That's what happens. He just assigns.
I liked one little clip.
He assigns people.
No, you're stuck with him now. He's
okay,
your boy.
Now he's my
forever.
Your boy.
No matter what he does, if he says dumb things about the manager or who should play where, whatever he says.
Then just look at me and say, what's your boy thinking? Gotcha.
Your boy. 617-779-7937. We see you lining up again because you realized, oh, wait, they're talking Four Nations. They're talking the biggest game in hockey, the biggest game in all of sports of late. Tonight, 8 o'clock here on WEEI, but also at TD Garden. It's Team USA. It is Canada. It's the Four Nations final. We'll talk more about that next, and we'll talk about the most important part of the game, which is actually before the game, a pair of national anthems and what we hear during those anthems. We'll talk about it next here on WEEI Afternoons.